Him on your physical body. And that's a beautiful thing that we would flow with Him like that. Amen. All right, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, the Anointed One, Christ, that's not His last name, the Anointed One, has already bought us, according to the word redeem. The word redeem, when you look it up in the Greek, there's three words for it, and they basically say this: I came and I examined what was going on with you, then I bought you out, and then I brought you to me. That's what those three redeems are, okay, in the Greek. We've taught that many times, and I know you have a hold of that, so. Now, it said, so the blessing, yeah, He bought us, He paid by being the curse Himself. Now, He didn't deserve it, but He became the curse, okay? Now, He's already done that. So, because He was made a curse. Now, that the blessing that God put on Abraham would come on us through Jesus, okay? The Anointed One. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, through faith, not earned. Are you here? Are y'all here?
Yes.
Okay, y'all just kind of flowing in the Spirit here? Yeah, I know, I feel it too. So, try to hang in there though, because this is when you'll get it really good. So that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, listen, if the curse were the ocean, then the blessing would be the ship.
Yeah, come on.
Okay?
Yeah.
Can you? I need y'all to walk with me on this. If the curse were the ocean, which is all around you, then the blessing would be the ship. And I'm talking Icon of the Seas,
yeah, yeah.
The biggest ship that exists. Right. Amen. Royal Caribbean's Icon. It's the biggest ship now. Okay, so through faith, not earned, this has already been paid for. So now I'm going to say a couple things that you already know very well, and then we're going to move forward. What is the blessing of Abraham? It's the same blessing that God conferred on Adam and Eve. Same one. Okay? It is the anointing to prosper. And that means more than financial. It's increase. It's about going forward. It's about doing good. It's about taking the ability of God and blessing mankind. Right? All right. So Genesis 12:2 talks about that. And let me just read it to you because you know it so well. And I want to move on to some other things. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you. Now, he's talking to one man. One man, he's saying, I'm going to make you a great nation. So evidently this guy's going to multiply. He's going to become somebody. I tell you, my grandmother and my grandfather almost made a nation. They had 26 grandchildren. That's pretty good. We were getting up there. Y'all want to hear a fun fact? So I've been doing Ancestry for years, and as you move forward in it, you make progress of who are the potential fathers of the different people. And I've traced my relatives, we're Scottish, and I trace my relatives back to the clan of Kerr. We have a lot of castles on the east side of Scotland, and we're the clan of Kerr. And interesting enough, in all the world, the clan of Kerr has more left-handed people than anyone else in the world. In the world, 11% of us are left-handed. Me and my brother are left-handed. Deb's left-handed. Anybody else? You left-handed? Okay. So the clan of Kerr has 30% left-handers. Isn't that interesting? And when they built their places, they built their stairways according to being left-handed. Isn't that interesting? Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but I just wanted you to know that. Praise the Lord. That's cool, isn't it? But this guy, God's saying all the families of the earth are going to call you blessed. And do they today? They do. Everybody that reads the Bible, all of Israel, that's Father Abraham, they call him blessed. And so, It said, I'll bless those that bless you. Now, here we see the blessing and the curse again. I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And we need to look closer at this because I want you to see something. And there's a few things I want us to grab tonight. You need to really set your spirit and your thinking on this so that if it ever comes up, you know that you totally have understanding of this. And here it is. In Genesis 1, Adam was blessed, right? God conferred the blessing on him. We saw it. It starts at 26. 26, we 7, 28. Talks about them. God giving him dominion. Everybody in here knows this. Okay. Now, so God then is the creator of the blessing. Am I right? God is. So God started the blessing. Let's say it that way. Now listen to me. I want to tell you something very important. Adam started the curse. Not God. Adam started the curse. The curse is godlessness. He moved out from under what God was doing. God didn't start the curse. And you got to get it in your thinking that how this thing really works. And of course you filter everything through this good God. But if you've got to go back and see this. The blessing is in God. The curse is outside the kingdom. God can't be the curse. Now, you have to get that simple truth. God didn't set it up like this. This is what he didn't do. Well, I'm going to make the blessing and I'm going to make the curse. And then by what they do, it'll determine what happens to them. Well, what Adam did, it determined what happened to all of us. Am I right? That's right. When he fell, all mankind fell. But here came the icon of the seas. You know what I'm saying. Jesus came. Now, so, but we have this picture of God being this parent that is going to bless you or punish you. But that's not really how it works. He does correct. He does. And he'll get on you if he needs to. But he didn't set up his correctional system with the curse. That's not how he did it. He set up his correction through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Okay. Jesse agrees with me. Praise the Lord. Jesse, I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. Now, so Genesis 3:17, listen to it. And to the man, he said, he's talking about Adam, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All of your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It'll grow thorns and thistles, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, see, there's that toil. By the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Now, you have to understand, there's where the decision was made.
Yeah.
But God wasn't displaying, and he was displaying the garden. He's displaying Eden. Satan, the snake, the subtle one, said, is that really true? Because I don't think it really is. And they fell for it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So remember, God gave Adam authority in Genesis 1. Okay?
Right.
See? God gave Adam the authority. So he's responsible now. God's walking with him in the cool of the day, but he made him responsible for what happens on the earth.
Yeah, that's right.
And he could have stayed away from the tithe. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he decided to eat the tithe. And so when he did, then he began to get a picture of not just good. He should have just known good then. God would have taught him later. But he jumped the gun. And he decided to find out for himself what was really true. And so now he gets to partake in evil that was on the world. Before when we saw light be, church, there's a pre-Adamic time. I don't know if you know that, but if you will research your Bible and look at Isaiah and Jeremiah, you're going to find out that there was something before light be. The word says that the earth was form and void. It was tohu vabohu. So it was already messed up. Well, God didn't mess it up. God's not a messer up. So something went on. And that's the time when Lucifer came to the earth. And so we can't go into all that. We don't have time. I think we'll talk about it when we get back from convention. But Sister Billy has a real good teaching on it. And so, but what we see is God is trying to start over with this man. But he has to give him a choice. All of us have a will. And so he has to give you a choice. You don't have to do anything. It's your choice. You can go to hell if you want to. I'm not trying to be mean about that, but it's just true. You've got your choice. Amen. All right. So Adam was supposed to dress and keep the garden, right? Okay, so he was told not to eat the tithes, not to eat from the tree. And so, but he decided he's going to do it anyway. He took the suggestion of the enemy because he thought that was best. And when he did, it brought godlessness into the earth. Now, God still took care of Adam. He still helped him because that's the kind of God we have. So this is what we have today. Get it? The curse is still out there. It's still out there. I think you could turn on the TV and see that. I think you can see all the lies, all the junk, everything that goes on, all the nasty, evil things that go on. You can see the curses out there. You can see people failing every day. You can see Christians failing every day. Amen. They need to know about what this is talking about. So, but those who've received redemption from Christ can allow the blessing to come on them and it arise, shine. It raises you up above the stuff. Yeah. It's like you have your own inner tube. Amen. It'll cause you to rise up above what's going on. And then you're able to minister to a lost world. Am I right? So it brings on something. Really, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I need to minister from what happened to me. All the terrible stuff. Well, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear how you overcame the terrible stuff. And it's because the goodness of God brought you up. You got out of the curse. You got out of all the junk. You washed the mud off and went on. The reproach left you. Amen. The curse is out there. And you can choose whether to go get in it or to stay out of it. Now, and allow the blessing to function. So, but here's my main point to you. It's not God giving and taking the blessing and the cursing according to your behavior. It's you deciding with your behavior. You're deciding. God came into this room about 12 minutes ago. And when he came in here, you had a choice whether to go, y'all hurry up. We got to get back out of here. Or you could go, man, the presence of the Lord is here. I'm going to receive everything I can from him. It's your choice. It's always going to be your choice. You can receive. It's going to be your choice what you do with your life. You can either get in the ocean and let everything bite you, or you could get in the ship. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Build yourself an ark. All right. Now, so the blessing was planted, the curse was planted, and then you choose. Now, I want us to look at a couple of things, and I will say some more things to you. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28:1, and it's so familiar to you because we quote it every time we're together. It shall come to pass that if thou hearken diligently, now I want you to listen to the wording, and then I want to tell you where it came from, okay? It shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee. The blessings, it says, come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and then there's this. You read down through a little ways, it says, but it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So if you do what God says, you get blessed. If you don't do what God says, you get cursed, according to what this says. Now, the wording makes it sound like if you're good, then I'll let the blessing come on you. But if you're bad, I'll let the cursing come up. That's what the word makes it sound like, how it's written. First of all, Christ was obedient. You can't keep all the law. You don't. You mess up. Christ was obedient. You got into his vehicle. You got in with Christ. Raised you up to a different level. What does that mean? We just act any old way we want to? Of course not. It means that you're now able to do what's right. But the truth is if you do mess up and you didn't keep part of the love law, which we're 100% in here who haven't. Amen. Then you have Christ. He's the one that paid. That's what Galatians said. So the wording here is what we need to understand. So I'm going to tell you about it. At the time King James, that's what the King James said, okay? At the time the King James Bible was written, the Hebrew language was almost dormant. Nobody spoke Hebrew. The Torah and the scriptures are written in Hebrew until you get to the New Testament. And then you have Aramaic and Greek. But when they're actually translating the original scriptures, nobody even spoke Hebrew. The first time you see Hebrew is October of 1881, when Eliezer ben Yehuda actually goes and speaks Hebrew in Paris to his friends. And then he makes Aliyah and goes to Jerusalem and he starts speaking Hebrew, and it caught on and the Israeli people picked up their original language. Okay, now, so what does that have to do with this? Well, because actually King James was written and was translated in 1611, 200 years before, more than 200 years before. And so they didn't get the full meaning of things. And so they translated by what they could tell seemed right. So you have to go in and you have to dig around in translations and ask the Holy Ghost to help you and compare everything you read in the Old Testament with what the New Testament says, which is who you are. Amen. Christ redeemed you from that curse. So when you read 28 there, you've got to understand that you're redeemed from it. And when you understand who you are and that you're redeemed from it, then you can act like it. Okay, now, so who is King James? I just thought you might want to understand him a little bit. He's King James the Sixth. He is, you probably know this because of history, that's Mary Queen of Scots' son. Remember that, teachers? Y'all know that. Okay, so Mary Queen of Scots was a Catholic, and the Scottish people, all the lairds, they were Protestants. So they took Mary and put her in the Tower, remember? They put her away, they imprisoned her. So James became king when he was a year old. When Queen Elizabeth died over in England, England and Scotland got together and he became the king of England and Scotland. So he didn't like the Catholic way. He didn't like the bishop's Bible. And so he ordered to rewrite the Bible, and it's called King James Version. And sometimes if he didn't like what they were writing, heads could roll. So now I'm not saying that it's way off. I'm just saying that the wording, it's beautiful in the fact that King James shows covenant. You can see covenant in it. But there's some places you need to translate what big old L-O-R-D means. Right? You have to understand that God already said, here's how it's going to be, now choose. And then it was chosen and it kicked things into gear. And so when it said the Lord will command the blessing upon you, it's telling you, you pick that system, You're in it.
Yes.
Okay? It's not saying, hey, Jesus, okay, you know, I've been good today, so I'm being a blessing today. Tomorrow, I might mess up. Okay? It's not like that. However, you could play around out there so much in the curse that it becomes habitual and you're just living like the world.
Yes.
Amen. You could, and you suffer the consequence. Amen. This is good. Y'all are just so quiet, but I'm enjoying it myself. Praise the Lord. So, all right. Now, too much to tell. Let's just move forward. So it's just always important to actually get close to the Hebrew, as close to the Hebrew as you can, as close to the Greek as you can, and go in like, that's why I'm thankful for Rick Renner. He understands the Greek. Miss Billy understands a lot about the Hebrew language. There are people that do. You can read the Strong's Concordance. Every time I study, I turn to my Strong's and my little Bible thing, Esword, and I look to see what the true meaning of the word is. I don't want to guess. Besides that, teachers are responsible. You better teach what's right.
Amen.
All right. And not because God's going to put the curse on me if I don't. It's because we want to do what's right. Amen. Now, so many Christians don't get this. They just think it's God handing out favor when you be good. I'll give you a stick of candy if you be good now, but if you don't, you'll get a whipping. And that's not how God works. I know parents do, but God doesn't work that way. People are literally taking... Listen, I'm going to go ahead and go here. And you just have to love me anyway if you this makes you mad. But there's a series out about Jesus and his disciples. And you better take that as fiction. Because there's nowhere in the Word of God where Jesus is fussing at the Pharisees. Now, there is that part. But that they come in and kill Thomas's girlfriend. And then Jesus won't raise her from the dead because it's not her time. I see y'all haven't seen it. You better take it as fiction because that's not scriptural. That did not happen. And Jesus never operated like that. And it is also not true that little James had to wait and not get healed. That's not true. The Bible says Jesus healed them all. But this is a diabolical doctrine and people are buying it off the series and believing it. I read some of their thoughts on it. You know, they put their reviews and their thoughts and they're like, yes, and now I know why this happened to my son. I'm like, are you kidding me? Go read the word. Don't go by what the movie says. Or by what someone out there is just trying to throw at you. Check out everything that's said. Check out everything I say. You need to find out for yourself. Amen. Watch out what you're watching. Study the truth. Now, here's the truth. You also have to read Deuteronomy 28 through Galatians 3. That needs to be your standard. This is who we are. Paul told us who we were. We're led by the Spirit. Romans 8. There is no condemnation for those who are led by the Spirit. Now, I want to tell you something about that. That's also not a do and don't. You literally are. You are led by the Spirit. That's who you are. It's not what you do. It's who you are. You are led by the Spirit. You're like, well, I don't really do a very good job of it. But it's there for you. You are prosperous. It's there for you. You are blessed. It's there for you. You are led by the Spirit. It's there for you. If you don't do it, that's your problem. But the truth is that's who you really are. You really are the righteousness of God. This, see, we are, we am. After Jesus did what he did and we received Jesus, we're there. Now, do we want to follow what the Spirit says? Absolutely. But you're going to follow him better when you realize that's who you are. Do y'all see what I'm telling you? There's just these little verbs and actually, in some of the languages, there's permissive verbs and things like that, where in other places there aren't. There's a whole lot to language that you have to get a hold of. And so you have to really go find out what's being said. I don't have time to go there. Anyway, so you're a New Testament believer. You're not a law keeper. You're liberated from the law of sin and death. And every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through Jesus. And you can do what's right, do it right because it's right. But it happens because of that's who you are. I am a preacher. So what happens? I do it. You are a preacher and a singer. And that's what you do because that's who you are. You're a worshiper. See, that's who you are. You are a prayer. So what do? You pray.
Yes.
You pray the wallpaper off the walls.
Yes.
You pray. You do what you know to do. Those of you that are in the selling, you are a salesman.
Yeah.
What do? You sell. Roosters crow. Right?
Yeah.
Bunnies don't. They can scream like a girl though, I tell you. Y'all remember Gracie, my little poodle that big? She is that big. We used to live in the house that Danny and Jordan live in. And she was real little and real young. And the neighbors, Steve and his wife down there, they let their pet white rabbit out. And it came up to our house. And Gracie saw it. And she took out running. And I mean, that rabbit took out running. And they were running all the way down the road. And that rabbit was screaming like a girl. It was the funniest thing. Right before she caught it, I grabbed her. But I didn't know rabbits could scream like that. Well, that was free. Anyway, okay. All these stories. Okay. Now, so, study translation. Study knowing who you are, that you're redeemed. Understand that you're not cursed. But the curse is out there if you want to participate. If you want to go out there and cuss a blue streak, try it.
Yeah.
See what happens. Please don't. But you could. Brother Copeland says when he was his grandfather was called Cussin' Owens.
Oh,
now that told you something about Brother Copeland's grandfather. And he used to admire him. So he went out in the garage one day and he remembered when I was 9 years old, I went out there and I said my first cuss. And he said, I could remember exactly. Darkness came. It bothered him. It got on him. Y'all remember the story? I'm sure you do. So anyway, we're free from cussing, of course. But the point is you have to choose. You can cuss somebody out. You can do whatever you want to, but what goes out is what's going to come back. And I'm going to get to that now as we're finishing up. All right. Now, let's talk about confessing the blessing just real quick. At least twice a week, we say this. I'm the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessings overtaking me today. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything I put my hand to do prospers, right?
Yes.
We're saying that on purpose, right? Blessed in the city, blessed in the field or in the country. So now the word there in Deuteronomy said that you will have plenty. So I looked up plenty. It means plenty. And it means a lot. That's what it actually said. A lot. You can have a lot. So you can be blessed. Of what you need, what you want. And then your food is blessed, it talked about. And then you're blessed coming in and going out. In other words, you're blessed when you travel. Everything you put your hand to do prospers. Now here's one. We don't talk about this much, but listen to this. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you. Now I want you to see that's a big L-O-R-D. So that means the system that God put in place. Remember? Y'all remember the teaching? Okay. Now, so the system that God was put in place will cause your enemies that rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Let's just talk about that for just a minute. Because you should be confessing this. But understand a couple of things here. The devil uses people. We forgive the people. Sometimes the devil uses your thoughts about people. Am I right? Yeah. Or maybe he uses speculative imagination about people. Well, they're this or they're that or they're doing this and they probably hate me or whatever, you know. But know this, no weapon formed against you will prosper because you're in the blessing. The shark's not going to eat you. You're on the icon of the seas. You're way up high. There's, I don't know how many floors they have in that thing. They keep sending me a message to invite me to get on it. But are you getting the picture what I'm trying? You're above only. You can be. You don't have to swim around in all the stuff. You don't swim around in all the toil and the well. Start confessing who you are. You're in the blessing. The blessing is where it be someone or you opposing yourself. The blessing. Remember Balaam and Balak? He said, hey, I'm going to hire you. He's getting ready to take the shot. I'm going to fire off a curse at them. Because you can't curse what God has blessed. You can try if you want to, but you can't curse me. But I tell you what, if you just, the Lord will take care of you. I will love you. All right. Now, Joseph, they couldn't. So they're like, okay, just throw him in a hole. Here comes, she does. She accuses him of trying to get her. And so, running the place. Pretty good. And then he's sitting there, Pharaoh's male. And what do you know? He becomes the prime minister. He got to the top. Won't care about getting to the top. Well, you should. You should be as much influence as you possibly can in this world today. Be as much influence as you can. Well, you know, I'm busy with my own stuff. Hey, where you are, where you live, who you deal with is where you're the influence. You come here to get what you need. You go out there and you deliver. Amen. So that's what's on you. Okay, now, one more thing. If you're prospering in the kingdom, you're going to get persecuted. If you're going somewhere where God is moving, you'll get persecuted. Yeah, you will. And it doesn't matter. And you'll think, well, you know, if I stay away from those Holy Ghost churches or whatever, maybe everybody in the community will still love me or whatever. No. Somebody's talking about you. Somebody doesn't like it that you prosper. Somebody doesn't like your doctrine. Here's the main thing. If you are prospering, the word says you'll be persecuted. So just get used to it. Somebody somewhere is going to be mad because you're doing well. It's the way it is. The devil's mad because you're doing well. That's the whole key. So do we hate persecution? I hate it. I get tired of it. I even have friendly fire tell me what people say about me. But I'm telling you, I'm prospering. I'm growing in the word. I'm praying better than ever. I'm hearing God. I'm moving forward. My family is blessed. You're all blessed. Your lives are changing. That's what matters to me. Amen. Praise God. God brings people in to teach us things. Not bad stuff. Not goats and wolves. Okay. Now, that was free. All right. Last thing, how much of the curse are you confessing? How much of the curse are you confessing? Because it closes heaven over your head. Heaven's wide open, but it'll close it over your head. Wherever you're leaking something out, or not saying anything to refute it. There's some things you just need to quit saying. And then there's some things you need to start saying. Yes, that's true. It's true. And listen, I'm not just talking about confessing the word. I'm talking about how you talk in your conversation. This leg's been hurting me for 42 years and I don't need to wear it's going to hurt for another 42. If you keep going that way, it's just the truth. Well, you know, we try to prosper, but we just can't seem to get a breakthrough. Well, you're going to have what you say. You're not going to have a breakthrough unless you change what you say. Well, you know, I've been having some really bad days and you're going to have some more. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue and you can't change that. It's written in the word. It's how God set it up. You're the prophet of your own life. And if you're talking about people, criticizing people, judging people, opposing yourself, talking about the whatever's hurting your body, how many surgeries you've had and everything else, that's the way your life's going to go. If you're talking about how broke you are, that's the way your life's going to go. If you talk about how your family's falling apart, then that's what you're going to have. Yeah. Same lesson every time. It's just the truth. So you want to talk the blessing. Yes. I'm blessed. Woo. That's why you really need to mean it. You know, people say, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. They don't mean that. You know what I'm talking about. You can tell when it's just rote. They're just saying it because that's what everybody says. Like, God is good all the time. And then they're like, oh, I don't know how good he is. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. Mean it when you say it. Yeah. I'm blessed. Yeah. I'm blessed. Yeah. Tell it, Gladys. We're blessed. Blessed. Amen. You need to mean that when you say it. Nothing works that I'm putting my hand to. Everything keeps breaking. Well, first of all, go back and look and see if there's anything you need to correct. There could be something, but most of it's going to be your mouth. Now, keep in mind, you are redeemed. But if you choose to get out there, you'll experience what's out there. If you want to get in the ocean, you could get in. People go overboard all the time. I'm not. Staying in the ship, staying in the ark, living in the blessing. Some of your actions, but mostly your mouth will bring you to actions. But mostly your mouth is going to cause you the trouble. Now, it said there, so I'm going to close with this. It said there, the Lord will smite you. Now, that's not God showing up and knocking the crud out of you. Excuse me for being frank. It's saying the system you're involved in is messing with you. Amen. You need to get back in the Lord. But here it is, plain English. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. It's a system. If you sow good seeds, you will reap a good harvest. Your fruit will be good. If you sow rough seeds, you're going to get the harvest. God will not be mocked. It's a system that is set up. I picked a couple of squash out of the garden, and John brought in a tomato. How did those get out there? We planted them. Now, that is just really simple. Yeah. Words are seeds.
Yes.
Actions are seeds.
Yes.
Finances are seeds. Just whatever you're doing is seed. Bad attitude is a seed.
Yes, ma'am.
Rebellion is a seed.
Yeah.
Pride is a lot of seeds. All right. Thank you, Jesus. The system. Adam, you're in charge. And if you choose me and you stay in this, you're going to have life and blessing. But if you make the other choices, this thing's going to come down and it's going to cause the earth to go like it went. So the earth went like that. But then Jesus came and picked you up out of that system. It's still going out there. There's stickers in them. But they're there because they're still, the curse is still in the earth. Now we dug up what we can. We've dealt with what we can. But if you go out, if you look at the nation, there's some stickers out there and some stinkers.
Amen.
Right? Why are they there? Because the curse is out there. Why did COVID come? Curse. Disease. Did you know that one of the things listed is inflammation in the curse? And almost every person deals with inflammation. That's something we could overcome. We had to put our faith in it. The life and the light of the Zoe life of God penetrate my body. Every cell has a door, every door open, and I receive the life and the light and push out inflammation out of my body, out of my spine, out of all of my organs in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right? Start doing that every day. Take your medicine. I push it out of my nervous system. I'm not inflamed. I declare I'm not in Jesus' name. Inflammation leave in Jesus' name. Probably a lot of the job that you do deals with people having. It starts with inflammation. Inflammation and immune. And it doesn't always come from the Twinkie. I don't highly recommend them. But a lot of times it comes from what you said. Because Jesus talks about it. So I wanted to talk about this because I wanted to make sure that as we go forward and everything that happens that, and you help people with this. God is good, church. He's a good God and he's not whacking you over the head with something. You have a choice. Get out of the curse. Don't swim out there. Get on the icon. Get in the ark. Start living it, but it's, you know, I've had to repent. My mouth got a little loose.
Yeah.
No, I just lied. Got a lot loose about things I wasn't recognizing. Well, blah, 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 blah. And then I went, you know, I need to straighten this up. I just need to talk to somebody one time and then I'll quit. Just shut up. How you doing? I'm blessed. I'm fine. And if you want to tell somebody something like you want the people on The View to straighten up, y'all are like, what's The View? I'm glad you don't know. But just say, I declare in the name of Jesus that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened or it's taken down.
Yeah.
Jesus' name.
Yeah.
God's not against those people. He loves those people. I know sometimes it's hard for us, but we choose to love. Amen.
Yeah.
But the truth is the curse will catch up and we will see darkness overthrown in America.
Amen.
And I've got a word on it. Don't be concerned. It's going to happen the way you thought it was going to happen. It's coming. It's coming. Eyes have been opened. You're like, yeah, but what about the shakeup this last week? Oh, honey, that's better than ever. Better than ever. We're going to get this. God's got it. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Now we could talk better. We're going to win. America's going to win. Well, I don't think preachers need to be talking about that. Door. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. America needs to be great again. America needs to be a mission field again and send out mission. America needs to love God again. America needs to change. America needs to drill for oil. America needs to stop the borders. America needs to clean up everything with the sex trafficking. America needs for people to understand what their gender is. America needs that. And I guarantee you we're going to see it because eyes are popping open.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. You got people out there that are coming through right now. They're coming through, and it's good. Well, Pastor, I just don't believe like you believe. Well, I love you anyway, but I'm telling you that what we're voting for is the platform against killing babies, the platform against all of the lies about the gender stuff, the platform we know that it should be husband and wife, man and woman. That children shouldn't be picked up and thrown into sex trafficking. All of those things, we know the platform that stands for the right thing. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you for something. From now on for the next few months, let's on purpose pray more than ever for America. Get your confession going about America. Get your confession going about President Trump. He's not the entire answer. Jesus is the answer. But he has the courage. And so God called on him to help us with this. Are there others? Yeah, there are others. I see them all the time. I see people like, that person would be really good. But God knows what he chose. So, well, I don't like him. Well, get in God's will. Because I really believe this is the way that we're supposed to go. And we're going to win. And we're going to take back the seats. And we're going to have revival on the land. And then I'm going to tell you this. If it didn't happen, we're still going to have revival in the land. We're still going to have the awakening. But it will happen. It will happen. The world is already bowing down right now. They're already calling him instead of the other guy. And now the girl. I'm telling you. Be encouraged. Amen. Your baby is going to get to grow up in a good America. Amen. That's where I'm putting my faith. Yep. All my life right now is about making sure that y'all, the next generation, and your children get to live good. Amen. That's what it's about. Katie's babies are going to get to live good. Gabe's babies are going to, your baby's babies are going to get to live good. We need to see to it. We need to get our minds off ourselves and get into this, helping this generation make it. And from what I understand, there's a younger age group now. They're flipping to the right. They're flipping to the right. They're going, you know what? That's all stupid. Can I be frank like that? Young, this is family talk. It's going to happen. And I'll tell you something else. This church is going to fill up. And I know, you know, this is Wednesday night crowd and half our people are in the other rooms, but the Lord showed me and gave me a scripture and said, sons and daughters are coming and they'll attach themselves to you like ornaments on a bride. People are going to stop being flaky and they're going to come in here and they're going to serve God and love God. And we're going to see the glory of God, signs, wonders, and miracles more than we've ever seen. Amen. On a brand new floor. Woo! And lots of other good things. Amen. Yeah. You're blessed. Yeah. Let's receive our offering and we'll go. We gave Danny an extra 10 minutes. She'll be so happy with me. Because she always says, Pastor, I only got to number one, point one. I'm like, you got to learn to preach fast, girl. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Danny and Jordan and Hector and Patty. They do a great job, don't they? And Jenna and Miss Deborah in the children's church. And then we have lined up, because we have a baby now, we have also have new nursery teachers lined up. And they're going to do a great job. We're excited about that. So God is good. Father, we thank you for every tither and giver. And we just put that law in motion. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Father, we thank you for every person who's given to Victory by the Foot. Thank you for the new floors. We thank you for every person that's given into the ministry. And we thank you, Lord, that those funds are used for exactly what you want, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for blessing this house, because you take what we give and you turn it around and bless our people. We're grateful for it. Father, we thank you for the tither, because the devourer cannot get hold of them, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the giver who receives back a hundredfold return, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. God is good.
Yes, he is.
My understanding is there's still places to serve in the voting arena. There's places, so many.
There's a lot of new stuff coming up. And I brought today, I realize we don't have a place to put it, but a voting for people to register to vote.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't registered, which when I look at the crowd, I'm like, you have. But if you haven't voted, yeah, and for those that come in, we need to be offering. I will almost threaten you. You have to vote. It has to be too big to Rick.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
You have to vote. Two reasons. Number one, we need you to, just so we'll win. But number two, so you'll win, because that's your seat.
Yeah.
What? If you would like to give via text message, you can give to VCHL in the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Is that all you're telling me, or what are you telling me? What is that?
The voter registration.
Okay, the voter registration, right back there.
Yeah.
So if anyone needs them. And listen, if you bring someone to church or ask your family, now, are you registered to vote? And you can register them. They can get registered and vote. And then you could go help out and guard the places. Drive around and pray over those places. Now, I realize we live out here in the hill country, but you'd be surprised what goes on. There's other people here. And, you know, we gotta be watchers on the wall. Pray for the victory. Let's stand up. I call strength to your bodies. I know you've all worked all day. I call you blessed in your body. I thank God that you're healed. You're going to get good rest tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.